We want to go through the Rishon Limani Harsha. So what we've done so far is, and I still want to speak a little bit more also about what we're going to have to about the categories of that we're dealing with in a broader way. So I'll explain what I mean by that as well. So what we've seen so far is that the Gemara here. Oh, you know what? Sorry, so disorganized today. Before I start, let me give you a couple of more Mara Makomos. Past Harsha, again, we'll try not to take too long on Harsha, but the next topic after that is Yediyah Belo Re'iyah, which is Edei Umdina, which we've referred to, but this is an important Gemara for it. So that's the Gemara here on Lamed Dalid Amud Aleph, and the parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Tosasin in the two places, and Sefer Mitzvos in the Rambam and the Ramban discussion in Mitzvah Reish Tzadi, and of course the Rambam in Yad HaChazakah in Sanhedrin Perek Chaf Halacha Aleph, and also look at Nizkei Mamon Ches Dalid and Eidos Dalid Beis and Isurei Bia Aleph Tes. All right, and just let's also remember our discussion of the Tashbates. I think it was Simon Ayin in the middle of that kuntres, where we, if you remember, his whole discussion about Eidechad Beshvua, but turned out to be about, again, it's part of the exchange that he has at the Rivash about Moser Abida Leguye and other things. But Agav, he says his interpretation of Eidos Miuchedes and, how it works is very fascinating as we just remember that or recollect that. And in addition, there's a tshuva in the Tshuvas Maimunios. I should look up the number, but in Hilchos Ishus, you look it up about Heinein Eide Yichud Heinein Eide Bia, which is a kind of seemingly Yudia below Re'iya, and also a famous tshuva of the Rajba, that's Chelek Aleph Simen Elef Kuf Tzadi Gimel, that's 1193. Okay. And it's also in the Likute Rishonim, if you want to look it up there. And also, just let's remember, those people who were here last year, in particular, should remember, the question of, what you need to know in Kiddushin. And we're not going to go into that, I'm just going to make a quick reference to it. What factors do you need to have, absolute, let's say, advanced knowledge about, as opposed to being able to supplement like information that is missing after the fact. In other words, part of this whole question of Eidos Yediyah below Re'iyah is, what do you have to know? It sounds like Watergate, or I guess, now Russiagate or whatever it is. What did they know and when did they know it? So, what do you have to know and when do you have to know it? Can you, reconstruct, basically, a halachic event? That's really what it is. It's like a very universal, fascinating question. What does the halacha think about, a testimony or witnessing something, based on umdanas, basically, yediya below re'iya, circumstantial evidence, being able to reconstruct what took place based on, after the fact, dissecting, what after the fact, putting it together. These are all overlapping. Maybe they're the same. Probably they're a little bit overlapping ideas. So that's what we want to look at. Again, I'm not going to spend too much time because we have to get to other things, including Shemos Hashem, and then we want to move on to some Shavuos HaPikadon issues, and then Shavuos HaDayanim. But okay, that's the plan. Okay, for now we're in the middle of doing Harsha. What we read so far, I believe Moshe was he here? Moshe? Oh, there he is. Moshe was reading for us, right? So what are we doing so far, Moshe, just to sum up? We read the Gemara. The Gemara here establishes that there's a requirement of Harsha, correct? And we noted that the requirement of the Baba Harsha really appears in two main sugyas. One is here for the requirement of Mipiat Toveya, and the other one is in Sugya in Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, where mostly, it seems like, to neutralize, the problem. Well, there the Gemara discusses the ability to write a Harsha, number one. I should really say two things about the Sugya Baba Kama. Right? Our Sugya is about Mipiat Toveya, By extension, our sugya is also about, possibly for the Rambam, about Chovas Haggadah. We're not sure if it's exactly the same, but we think that they're connected. The sugya in Bava Kamma is about two things. Number one, can you write a harsha, right, on Metaltalin and Metaltalin the Kafre? In other words, are there certain things that are off limits in terms of being, you know, subject to harsha, right, harshaable, right? Are there things that, you know, cannot, you know, be accomplished by means of harsha? That's one aspect of the sugya in Bava Kamma. That's the aspect that is brought directly into our sugya. The Gemara seems to say that if you can or can't write a harsha, that's going to be obviously, technically, obviously, that's going to be relevant to being Baba Harsha to solve the Mipia Toveya problem. Because you can't solve a Mipia Toveya problem if you can't write the harsha, you know, to begin with. But in terms of its significance broadly, it very well may be, certainly according to the Mandamar, that it's not just a problem of Mechsin Kashikra, but it's a problem of writing Urchasa Metaltalin per se, and the fact that the Gemara, right, links that to the issue of Rabbi Yochanan, Zelefi Shena Shalom Zelefi Shena Bershuso, namely the inability to be Makdish a Davar Sheino Bershuso, basically. Right, so it sounds like the Gemara Bava Kamma is speaking about a very, very fundamental question, and has two deos about a very fundamental question, namely, can you write a harsha? What does it take? What level of control does it take to write a harsha? Does that also imply what harsha is? Right, or is that are those two different points? Again, bepashtus, if we weren't looking for trouble, you know, we would be assuming that, you know, if there are things you cannot write a harsha on, it's because harsha, you know, itself, you know, is a certain kind of, we'll call it hakna, or type of hakna, and therefore things that are not subject to hakna are not subject to harsha. However, we may have to reassess that so that maybe what the Gemara is saying is a little more subtle than that. Maybe harsha isn't exactly hakna, but whatever harsha is requires the capacity for hakna. Because all the Gemara really says is that you can't write a harsha on certain things, and that is connected with the inability to be makdish them. It doesn't say that the process of harsha itself is equivalent to the process of hakdasha or hakna'a or hefker, or pidyon, which is what the Gemara there is talking about. So that's number one point that the Gemara there is talking about, namely discussing in the Shakla Vitaria the Gemara whether or not you can be marsha, right? You can write a harsha on certain things. That's number one. And number two is that the Gemara brings up, and the question is how central is this point? Right, but it sounds when the Gemara says that you know, call you know, urchasa de lo kasvina, you know, apik, you know, zil apik, dein manafshe, or whatever the language is, right, lace bay mashasha. So, assuming that that isn't for the moment, let's make the assumption that that isn't some additional and extraneous point, but that is again a key element here. So the Gemara says, because otherwise the guy can say la baldvarim didiat. So it sounds like, at least, that the Gemara is saying a second major point, and that is, in addition to what level of, you know, authority or, you know, power you require to write a harsha, right, is the point of why you need a harsha, I guess, when it comes to gviya. Anyway, you need a harsha for gviya because there's something called a taina of la bal dvarim didiya. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us you know, whether or not that's something more peripheral or an extraneous or something which is like, you know, an obvious fundamental, you know, issue in Gviya. But that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara goes on, as we already read, right, to discuss some other points. And it's very unclear. There's an ambiguity. Just when you read the Gemara, even if you didn't have any Mefarshim, right, then it would just be still hard to figure out, you know, what the zil apik dein lenafshe, you know, again, what I just asked, what is that exactly? It would also be hard to figure out what abaya is contributing, right? When he says that if you have somebody who, you know, has a part, he's a junior partner, that somehow that's not a problem, you know, to assess that. And then to assess, again, a Meimar, you know, and Ravashi. A Meimar, you know, is hard to assess because we don't even know what he says. Let's take Rashi for the moment, right? That says some sort of a tafas, you know, lo mafkina mine going on, right? Either, you know, this goes back to, you know, the question of la baldor and bidiyat and the ability of the shliach, if he wasn't asking questions, that's if he's polite, you know, and he follows proper protocol and proper etiquette, you know, and the guy says, la baldor and bidiyat, so he should be shrugging his shoulder and going back to get a harsha. But let's say, you know, he's not so polite. So he just grabs the other guy's, you know, assets, you know, to do this gviyah. So is that what a Meimar is saying? That, you know, bidyeved, and that's another way of saying that, you know, this la baldorim didiyat problem is not such a big deal in the end of the day. It's more a protocol. It's like a taina, tzviya, you know, and it's properly handled in a certain way. But in the end of the day, this guy is an authorized collector. That would be very, very important for kind of down, you know, playing the significance of this requirement of harsha for la baldorim. Or, in exactly the opposite way, I mean, these are two very opposite shitos, right? If the shliach b'dieved, you know, can be tofes and overcome, so that a harsha, you know, emerges as something far more negligible. In exactly the opposite way, if you hold the second day of Rashi, right, then what you're saying is that in tafas lo mafkinan refers to the relationship between the marsha and the mursha. So if the mursha has rights vis-a-vis the marsha, right, that is something which accentuates zil don apik lanafshe in a very dramatic way. It sounds like he isn't just, you know, being fortified, you know, in terms of some extraneous taina or even some authentic, substantive, you know, power that he needs vis-a-vis the nitva, but that really, you know, an actual change has taken place here, that he has rights even vis-a-vis the marsha. That's definitely a statement that points to hakna of some sort. Right. And then when the Gemara concludes, Rav Ashi, right, that, you know, hilchos ha-shliach shavya or shutva shavya, that sounds like a very fundamental argument, and again, brings shlichus back into the equation. And then there are all sorts of girsos questions about whether that's the maskana or not, and what we mean by that, and is that just a day of, etc. So it's a very confusing Gemara. It's a kind of Gemara where you would imagine that, you know, since the issue is complicated, and the shakla vitari of the Gemara is so nitan to many perushim, so it kind of invites many perushim, which we have, and which we're going to try to at least see many, some of the basic ones, very quickly. So basically what we've seen so far is, broadly speaking, the application of harsha in the Gemara to certain issues, three or four issues we've seen, and we already know, just based on, you know, zil don apik lenafshe tafas lo mafkinan on one side, and the connection to Rabbi Yochanan gezev lo nesu asho abadim shneim enu mechalim lakdisho, that is a side which definitely accentuates a hakna perspective on harsha. And in the opposite direction, you know, the comment of kol demis ani, you know, we're referring to shliach shavya, when the Gemara has the second day, seemingly, that, you know, the only thing that is out of bounds for harsha is metalkal and dekafere because of mechsika shikra. It, you know, it's very possible, again, tafas lo mafkinan, if it's referring to a shliach. So then the possibility that shliach shavya, right, is the other perspective. This isn't something that belongs in the world of akna, it's something that belongs in the world of shlichas. So what we're going to see in a couple of minutes, before I make another couple of quick comments, is that there are such views. There are the views that there are extreme shittos. This is shlichas, this is hakna. But again, because of the complexity of the shakla vitaria and of some of the applications, we're not going to be you know, surprised that what's going to emerge in some shittos, potentially, is also some complex views. meaning nuanced understanding of levels of shlichus or levels of hakna, which makes harsha a very important topic. In other words, is there more than we say shlucho shel adam kemoso? We'll talk about this a little more and just give some quick background. Obviously, it's a massive, massive topic. A second parak of Kiddushin or a gittin topic, and so on. The topic of shlichus. We're not going to, discuss the whole thing. But obviously, some knowledge, right? Some basic knowledge of the levels of shlichus, whether all shlichus is the same, or shlucho shel adam kimoso, itself doesn't have a range, and even what the classic shlucho shel adam kimoso is, how kimoso is it, right? Is another way of saying it, is going to be important. And assessing, whether or not there aren't, models that basically qualify somewhat or refine traditional hakna is also going to be important, right? Because, we know what regular hakna is. Is there something called a diluted haknas or whatever, or haknas that, are much more, limited? And if so, how? And things like, again, those who were here last year, matano manas lahakzir, kinyan manas lahaknos, are going to be very helpful models, at least to look at, because they seem like they might be quasi kind of haknos. The ability to be makne shibudim, right? The whole institution of shibudim is an interesting model, right? Because it's something much more amorphous. Or even the ability to be makna milvas. Forget about shibudim. We talked last year again of a kaddish b'milva. We'll see in a minute again. The difference between the criteria of being makdish and makna, we'll see through Rajba, is going to be something potentially that is very important, right? If it if there are differences, lekula and lechomra, right? Lekula, it's sometimes easier to be makdish, like. Because of the principle of amiraso legaboa kimisiraso lehedyot. So actually, concretely, in terms of the maisa hakdasha, right? It's actually it seems like it's an easier thing to accomplish. On the other hand, maybe you need more bailus in order to be makdish. That's another way to look at it, right? To be a bailim to be makdish. So. Again, on the one hand, this amirasa legavoa may not be limited only to the method of hakdasha. It may imply that things are omeid to be mukdash. Despite the fact that haaretz nasan levnei adam, it's Lashem haaretz umeloa. And again, that's part of the whole discussion of the Yerushalmi. About amirasa legavoa kimisirasa lehedyot, and kol hechad isa begaza derachmana isa, right? The idea that you pronounce the shame hektish on something, it becomes hektish. So again, that all in terms of a more natural isa. That's the idea of neder being hatfasa, being a kind of act of hektish. That's what neder and hatfasa really is all about. Konem alai. On the other hand, as I say, maybe to switch something into the Rishus HaKadosh, you have to own it more. Then once you own it, then maybe it's easier to relinquish it to HaKadosh better, or easier, more naturally. But maybe the ownership that you require to begin with, right, is a more intense or more unequivocal or unambiguous, kind of or hands-on kind of ownership. So the question of HaKadosh and Hakna'a, the question of Hefker, Pidyon, all these models, Kinyam Nas Lahaknos, Matanam Nas Lahaksir, but what about Isuri Ano? We talked about that, it keeps coming up, we definitely talked about it last year, I think we mentioned a few times this year. It always comes up, and in Sukkah, by the way, it comes up a lot, right? And Lamed Hey, and Lamed Aleph, and whole discussion between the Ritva and the Ravid, and the Ravid and his Perish on Hilchos Lulav. But also quoted in the Ritvas. So, you know, that's a big issue, whether there's bailus for Yisuri Hana, whether you can be makne Yisuri Hana, you know, or not. And what about things like Yeush, right? Yeush, kidi kani, lo kani. These are all, you know, davar shelo bali olam, davar sheinu bershuso. These are all different models of kind of quasi control or quasi ownership, and the question of the ability in these cases, milva may be a kind of davar sheinu bershuso. So the ability to be makna or not be makna only in certain ways, makna only for certain things. These are all, again, we're not going to discuss all this because we'll never leave this topic. But I'm just trying to give you like a bigger picture, both on the shlicha side and the haknoa side, because harsha is really touching both of these issues. If you hold shliach shavi, it means it's regular shlicha shalom kamoso. So that's great. End of the story. Move on. You know, if the balamor, you know, was our exclusive focus. You know, in our shiurim, you know, if we lived in Provence and, you know, we were happy with that, that would be great. If we took the view that, you know, harsha is hakna, and that's a classic hakna, you know, which is definitely one view of the Gemara, according to many Rishonim, and certainly according to the Rajba, that would be wonderful too. But as I say, if, you know, you're trying to navigate all this evidence, when it works, when it doesn't, you know, and so on and so forth, then obviously fitting it into different levels of shlichos and fitting it into different levels of haknah becomes very important. So we're not going to spend so much time on it, but I am going to speak a little more about some models of shlichos, and I'm already mentioning some models of haknah, but I'll just elaborate a little more as we go forward. Okay, so what we've seen, again, in our sugya, we've seen three things. One is Mipia Tobeya, the other is called the Haggadah for the Rambam. The third is Mipia Maturgaman, I can call it that way, or Antlar, the topic that we already did earlier in the year, all about Morsha. Aaron brought to my attention that he looked up, if you remember, the Aruch, who was a major player in the Antlar topic. So he looked up in the Aruch. How does Aruch explain Antlar?
If I remember correctly, his lashon was that
Antler
is an apotropos.
Yeah, so that's Aaron just pointing out that in light of Rashi here, who says that Mursha is an apotropos, he also says that it's a lashon shulton or shultana, whatever it is. And let's also remember that Rashi here came up with this chiddush, right? That was rejected emphatically by the Meiri. But that was kind of, you know, I don't know, I wouldn't say admired from a distance, but at least, you know, was characterized as a davar chadash, but not necessarily dismissed by the Rajba, that to explain the Mishnah, that something which is me'olam lo mata liyadeh is not subject, you know, to harsha. So for him to turn around, you know, in the Gemara and to say that harsha is a lashon shultana'a and apotropos, is apt. It sounds like it's more certainly than regular shliach. You know, it could still be short of hakna, but just like an apotropos is more than a regular shliach, right? Although he's not a complete, you know, kone certainly either. So we'll talk about the categories of apotropos and so on. So we have the Rashi and we have these three applications, and then we have Bava Kamma with everything that goes with it, as we discussed. So just a quick comment before I don't want to go into some of the other shlichos. So I'm going to leave that for a moment in terms of the categories. But just to make a ha'ara very quickly about shlichos shalom kamoso and I guess phenomenological ha'ara, let's say. And that is the following. Typically, again, we say that the default rule is that shlichos shalom is kamoso. And it's very wide-ranging. And the question here is like, why would there be any issue with that? We should start with that. Why can't you have somebody represent you, whether it's an Ar Gemara to be Mipia Toveya or in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right, to neutralize the claim of La Bal Rimi La Bal Dvarim Didiyah, right? I'm I'm not myself. I'm the shliach of the mishaleach, who you can't say la boldvar midiyan to. And same with our sugya here. I mean, you have to be mashbia. You have to be mashbia mipia toveya, and the toveya made me his mouthpiece. I'm the extension of the toveya. So whatever you know, we encounter, and indeed, again, according, we already know the secret, which is that the Balamor holds that a shlucho shel adam kimoso is fine for those two functions. And the Gemara has a line in Bava Kamma, according to that girsa, and Bali Tosas think that's the psak, which is that shliach shavya. The problem with the Gemara, according to the Bali Tosas, is, you know, we'll, is it true for shlucho shel adam kimoso, or is that just mursha? The Gemara is saying you don't need a mursha, or that mursha is a particular type of shliach. What we know in the Balamor is that shlucho shel adam is kimoso. That's all the Gemara means. So whatever the Gemara thought originally, that's what they're coming down to. It doesn't seem like other Rishonim accept the Balamor. But the point is that there's much to commend, even if you didn't have the Balamor, you didn't have that line in the Gemara, and so on. Just if you looked at the case and you didn't know the Gemaras and you you weren't looking for trouble again, I don't think any of us would have thought that to be mipia toveya or to be able to counter la badvarm didia, that shlichos would be a problem. And yet, we know that at least in some days of the Gemara and in most days of the Rishonim, right, the typical shliach really is inadequate. So the question is why? And what are the models for shlichos being inadequate, notwithstanding shlichos shalom kimosim? So typically, again, we know a lot. We, in shlichos barveira, in shliach for certain mitzvos, what's that all about? So just the phenomenological point I just want to make is that there's a certain kind of interesting paradox in shlichos, when it works and when it doesn't work. And again, the problem always is how much of the shliach and how much of the shliach's persona still exists when he's representing the mishaleach. How much is he an extension of the mishaleach? And how much is he himself? That's one question in shlichos. How kimoso? But the bigger question, the paradoxical point I want to point out is that how is it more constructive, let's say, in terms of his effectiveness, to be more himself or more kimoso? Okay, that is what is a tricky question that needs to be at least acknowledged. Meaning, let's say it the other way. There can be two problems that in one respect are opposite of each other. Why shlichos shouldn't work or can't work where it doesn't work. Okay? One is a situation where you have something highly either physical or personal. What we call a davar shebegufo, but in that sense. Right? Where you need the physical person as a chefza, not just as a gavra. Or you need a personal touch. Right? So we often say that, shlucho is not kimoso. Again, we sometimes call this a davar shebegufo. Why can't somebody put tefillin on for you? Right? But it's not just why somebody can't put tefillin on for you. It also may be things like, where there's a mitzvah bo yoser b'shlucho, something we talked about last year. I'll mention a little more. But, if bo yoser b'shlucho isn't something more radical, which it is, according to some Rishonim, like the Raibid and others, for some, there's an aspect of Kiddushin, like which you cannot accomplish at all, because it's highly either physical or personal. And therefore, bo yoser b'shlucho. That's how the Raibid, quoted in the Rebosh and quoted by, put together with what he says in Tmim Deim. Again, those of you who weren't here last year, don't worry about it. For those of you who were, hopefully you're, remembering and fondly, I hope. For them, the chiddush is that bo yoser b'shlucho really means our two dinim. One din is not subject to shlichos at all. Right, the personal aspect of kiddushin. And, the other is, there's our two dinim of kiddushin. There's the osir and the matir. The matir part needs to be done by the bailin. And that's why, this is the shita that I'm talking about, you would say the bracha either again, or you'd hold out the bracha you know, till you actually have the ba. That's the shliach who's mekadesh, you know, can't say the bracha, or there's reason to say the bracha twice because there's an aspect or an element that is completely missing from the equation. Okay, so bo yoser b'bishlucha. There's a davar shebegufo, you know, in that. Otherwise, you know, for most rishonim, and for a simple reading of the Gemara, bo yoser b'shlucha is a lechatchila. But that lechatchila again, you know, probably has to do with things like, you know, if it isn't just as reason matim in the mitzvahs, or you know, to show that you like to do the mitzvah, which might be completely extraneous to shlichas, even though it expresses itself. So it might also show that, you know, there are two ways to do an action, right? Forget about this reason for the moment. One is more personal, and the other is more, you know, legal. So you have a legal way and a personal way, and in certain dinim, certainly, bo yoser bishlucha. So there is a lot that, you know, commends the view that, you know, whether it's a ba'akev or lechatchila, that whenever you need something, a more personal element, certainly a more physical element, there's no kiddushe bi'al yidei shliach, because obviously, you know, the physical aspect of it makes it impossible. It's not transmittable. There's no hanachas tefillin al yidei shliach, because that's a physical thing. That's even not just personal. And it's just not, you know, transmittable. Chuppah, can you have chuppah al yidei shlichus? Right? The whole, part of the whole discussion of the Or Sameach in Perek Yud, Chasidus Halacha Aleph, right, is, you know, again, depends how you define chuppah. Certain aspects, certain definitions of chuppah, yichud, other things, you know, are physically defined. Of course not. And what about other things? You know, is there a personal element or not? So that's one whole, and I'm putting them together even though they're different, the personal and the physical, but the point is that for this purpose they share something in common. But there's an opposite problem of shlichus being inadequate, seemingly, and that is the inability, right, to authorize, right, in a meaningful way. There's no jurisdiction, you know, to be giving over. There's no authorization. There's no bailus to be, you know, conveying or transmitting to the shliach. Again, that could also be because it's a personal or physical thing, or just because it's this not a jurisdictional, you know, or bailus type of thing. So, for example, we talked about, you know, why many Rishonim with the opinion that there's a Mursha, let's say, or an effective shliach, a Mursha, call it a Mursha, for a Toveya, but not for a Nitva. Right? So the Ritva's comment that basically the Nitva is passive. You know, his fate is being discussed and decided, but he's not. There's nothing to give to the shliach or to the Mursha to do. He's not. There's no Gviya. There's just, like, you know, to be a mouthpiece. Shlichus in Kabbalah Saget, you know, might be qualitative. We'll talk about this. Might be qualitatively different because, we'll put it this way: shlichus in Halacha and in Kabbalah Beget might both be unique cases of shlichus, you know, because of this factor. Shlichus Halacha Beget might be unique, you know, because Gerushin is Bal Korcha the Isha min HaTorah. And therefore, when you authorize a shliach laholacha to go out and to be megaresh on your behalf, right, that is the ultimate samchut, because he could just do what he wants, even, he could just impose his will now on the object, right, on the Isha, in this case, you know, in terms of gerushin. And the Gemara cites this as a factor. We'll talk more about it a little bit, and we'll talk about the paradigms. Shlech leKabbalah Beget is the exact opposite, because Bal Korcha De'isha, so you have a shliach, you know, who has no discretion whatsoever. You haven't authorized him or given him a task, you know, never mind it's not a legal task, it's not even a task, you know, he's basically totally passive. And maybe it works in a different way as a result. Certainly the Rambam felt so, and definitely the Gemara and Habamina felt so. It's lacking in samchut, in bailus. That's how Reb Chaim, I've mentioned this in the past, understood the connection between ein shlichus b'mitzvos, in certain mitzvos, and ein shlichus b'dvar aveira. right? Because there's no tziruf and there's no bailus. Those might be different things too, but let's just zero in on the samchut and the bailus part for the moment. Meaning, I can't, you know, authorize you or delegate you to do this aveira on my behalf, because I'm not supposed to be doing the aveira, and I don't have bailus on the asiyas aveira, typically. And consequently, ein shliach hadvar aveira. This would, of course, be accentuating, you know, divrei rav. This is the question: ein shliach hadvar aveira. Relationship to divrei Arav, divrei Talmud, you know, divrei mi shomim. So the Adraman Sanhedrin understands it as a taina, basically, meaning it's like a tour. The mishaleach, you know, says, you know, I'm not responsible. He shouldn't have listened to me. So it's a tour. But the pashtus is a lot of evidence that divrei Arav, divrei Talmud, divrei mi shomim is a statement. It's more it's not a p'tur, it's a statement about bailus, meaning I can't delegate the, you know, kiyum of this aveira to you on my behalf, because I'm not supposed to be doing it. I'm not supposed to be doing aveiros, and that's why certain mitzvos where there's no tziruf or there's nothing to authorize, for, in addition to the physicality of certain mitzvos, right? They're just not delegatable. Because they're actions. They're not legal. Again, the Kiddushin, even Gerushin from another perspective, because it's my legal status that is being, I mean, Ruvain, I'm the one who's marrying Sarah or is married to Sarah, you know, and therefore, you know, maybe I can delegate, you know, and she is married, so she's the legal party. But in some cases, it's not a legal party, it's not a legal action. Okay, why am I telling you this? So that basically, what I'm trying to suggest, but that's the way some people explain, that's what I was trying to suggest to explain. If there is no shlichus for chuppah, let's say there are some views of chuppah that are, again, one view of chuppah is that it's, you know, mesiras habal, mesiras aisha, you know, leshluchei habal. That's not shlichus. That's just a definition of a change of domain. And if chuppah's yichud, then it's the physicality and the personal aspect and so on. But another explanation why there perhaps is not shlichus b'chuppah is because if you take the view that chuppah isn't the chalos and it's not the kinyan part of the ishus, it's more of a, you know, a matir and a maisa, so it's not, there's nothing to, you can't delegate the chuppah part. My point is that there are two, therefore, quite different, although in some cases they do overlap, reasons why shlichos can be inadequate. One is when you need a physical or personal element, and the other is when it's not jurisdictionable, right? It's not delegatable because it's not, you know, enough of an authorization legalization. Oh. So, having said this, you then wonder, like, what is, if there's a solution, what is the solution, right? Can a more intense level of shlichus, a more independent level of shlichus, and this is why I'm talking about this right now, this is what makes this important for Harshav, you know, solve that problem? Like, let's say, apotropos, or, I mean, the status of Zechia, you know, is obviously, you know, relevant to this as well. And Harsha, let's say for the moment, are these solutions to some of these problems? These are institutions that sometimes work where Shlichus does not. And why is that the case? So if we assume for the moment that greater is greater independence, you know, the way to solve this problem. So here's where the paradox comes in. Because greater independence, right, on the one hand, reflects, you know, the authorization part, right? You're giving me more freedom to be like an independent agent on your behalf where the result, you know, connects to you. On the one hand. But on the other hand, you're doing that by distancing the shliach more from the mishaleach. He's more distant from the Mishaleach if you need the personal touch, put it that way, or the physicality. He's of the Mishaleach. On the other hand, as an independent agent, if he becomes enough of a kind of a bailim, so then maybe the hat that he's wearing, you know, is his own hat, b'toras shliach. And therefore, some of the either physicality or the personal aspects, and certainly some of the jurisdictional aspects, you know, are a result, but ironically or paradoxically, not of his being a better representative, but of his being less of a representative and more of himself. So in theory, for example, you know, a shliach, a somebody who's too independent in shlichus, you know, might be, usually is better if these are the problems, but sometimes can miss out and be worse than a shliach. So there might be certain limitations, let's say in apotropos or in zakiya or in harsha, that, you know, a kireach mikan amikan. He's just distant enough that he's not kemoso, right? And he's not, you know, a bailim enough that you get the, you know, the Dabar Shebagufo effect, if you want, or the Bo Yosem Bishlucho effect that you need. So this is something to think about as we move forward in this idea, because we're going to be examining whether or not the indications are that a Mursha isn't a more independent, you know, type of Shlich. Okay, so having said that, obviously we need to be assessing two things. One is whether, you know, harsha in the spectrum of shliach, type of shliach, in one extreme, hakna, type of hakna, in the other extreme, what is it? And of course, along the way, you know, we already have touched on the question of whether some of these applications, what do they require and how fundamental or peripheral are they? Is mipia tovea something, you know, that is very personal and very specific, especially in light of what we just talked about? Or, you know, it's a tnai, the alma. We talked about, again, the bitui part. And what about mipia tobeya and gibia? I'm sorry, in chiyuv agada. And what about mipia turgaman and antlar? And what about la baldvarim didiat in gibia or other such things? Oh. So let's begin. We already talked about Rashi here. Rashi here is very intriguing. Rashi here certainly seems to be going beyond shlichos. Because he says that there's this restriction of davar shalamat aliyadei, his emphasis on shultana'a and apotropsus is consistent with that as well. How far he takes it, we don't really know, but definitely it seems to be extended a little bit. Let's look at Tosis for a moment. What does Tosis say here? Ezra? Tosa Bava Kama is more extensive, but just do the Tosas here for a minute, just to get it on the record. Say again? One second. Yeah, first one, Bava Harsha is very important. But both the Tosas are important. You just go very quickly. As we have it? So for what is the real girsa? As I say, there's some question about the Mishnah. The Mishnah Lamed Hayam and Aleph, we already just talked about. Our girsa is what? Shalach biad avdo. Correct? And the Gemara seems to say that either a nitva or a shalach biad avdo is no good. Now, yeah, the nitva is excluded is not particularly troublesome, right? Although had it not been that way, I think we all could have lived with it, right? But it seems from the Mishnah that shliach is excluded, correct? Just like the Gemara in Bava Kama says that a shliach is doesn't have the ability per se to overcome laval dvarim didiat, and you need a harsha, right? So too, the Gemara, the Mishnah here seems to say
then the question is, does the Mishnah here say that a shliach is not effective for mipiat tobe? Again, the fact that the Gemara says b'baba harshon doesn't say b'shliach, you know, would seem to reinforce that. But just technically, it's important to know that the Mishnah there, right, actually just says shilach biad avdo, correct? Tosas had the different girsa or whatever, but shilach biad bno and biad avdo, right? And I think the Rajba and others have just... one second. Does the Rajba here have? When he quotes Bali Tosis, actually. Avalomi piavdo umi pishlucho. He's quoting this from the Mishnah. Right, lo mi piavdo, v'lo mi pishlucho. Again, if it had only been the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, you might have said it's a special din in an eved. Although, again, why should an eved be excluded from this particular shlichos? But it's strange that the Mishnah says mi piavdo. But okay, I mean, for the Balamor, this might help a little bit, right? Because the Balamor's conclusion, as we know, is that shlucho tzuradum kemoso is fine. Is that just because we paskin like the end of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, and therefore that overrides this Mishnah and the Gemara here? Or is there a difference between the shlichos of an eved and a regular shliach? But either way, let's continue. Afagav de paskina b'meruba the shliach shavya. Okay, utnan shilach biad bino biad avdo pator. Okay, so what's the... Basically, Tosus is addressing directly our problem. Right? If the Gemara says that shliach shavya, that our harsha is a shliach, and the Mishnah here and the Gemara here seems to say that shliach is not effective. So what do we do? What do we say about that? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. So the question is, what does Tosfos mean by that line? And it's really very hard to know. What do I mean by that? I mean, we know what he says. He says the difference is this is a different kind of a shliach. This is a shliach who has been invested with the koach Lahotzi mamon, and then he adds the words kemo labai lematzma. The question is that there are, I think that there are two ways to look at it. Ezra,
I mean, what exactly gives me what exactly
I mean again? What? How would you, you know, how would you characterize this line? What do you think he means by that line? Technically, we know what it means. I mean, factually, know what it means. He's asking the question vim tomar, if a shliach doesn't work, why does a mursha who is a shliach work? And he's answering because this shliach is also given koach gvia, correct? Right. All I'm asking is to assess that. Meaning what? So this is like a new category of harsha, or this is an adjustment on a regular shliach. This is a factual distinction, or this is a categorical distinction. Are you walking away from this Tosfos saying that there are two types of shliachs? In the end of what?
Yeah,
the answer is it's not clear. You just can't, I think. You agree? I mean, if you emphasize the, you know, kimola bailematzman, which is superfluous, frankly, and you know, to what he's really trying to say is that this koach gvia reflects, causes him to be a kind of a bailim. He's not a bailim ad kedei kach that harsha is haknah, with all the consequences of that. But he's kind of an independent shliach, you know, who is like a bailim le'inyan gviya utviya. Right? Maybe by virtue of his independence, being more independent than it. Not the regular kimoso guy who's wearing, you know, the hat of the... again, you know, this goes to my paradox a little bit, you know, in terms of like, what would this hat look like? You know, he's literally wearing the Mishaleach's hat, or he wears his own hat, you know, as a representative, you know, of the Mishaleach, or he wears some hat, you know, that makes it clear that he's not himself, but he also isn't wearing the, you know, Mishaleach's hat. He's wearing a hat that says, I am the Shliach of the Mishaleach, but the Mishaleach would never be caught wearing that hat, you know, not L'chavod and not L'sifaris, basically. You agree? Right. So it's hard to know. I'm just saying Tosfos here is struggling. You know, we just don't know fully what conceptually he means by it. He's addressing the question. If you want to emphasize the Bailim part, he's saying something really important. He's saying there's a shlichos here of a different quality. Or he's basically saying it's shlichos shan kamoso. But, you know, he has to, just like in the Gemara, another way he would learn Bava Kamma also is, you know, but, you know, the La Baldram Didiad is a formidable problem, and the way to get around it is to be a Bailam yourself more. Right? So then emphasize the Seifa, and this is a level of Shlichos that accomplishes that. Right? Or, no, La Baldram Didiad, you know, it's a Taina, maybe it's about insurance. You know, I'm not giving it to the... Maybe it's just a right that he has. I don't want to deal with your lackey. I want to deal with you. You know, or, you know, there's going to be an accident and I'm going to hear from you. Right? So if you neutralize it, you neutralize. It's not a different level of shlichus. It's a prat built into the contract to neutralize that problem. Similarly, mipia toveya. So you need pia toveya. Right? So if I'm the Bailim Linyan Gviya, that's what Tosa is saying here. If I'm Mursha, I'm not just a Mursha. There's a Chiddush in the reading of the Gemara, because you could have said, Baba Harsha, you know, maybe he's a Mursha Legabe Mipiat Begabe the Tviya of Shuas Eidos. Tosa says that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that he was made, you know, he was made Yeshla Koach Lahotzi Mamon. He was given koach lahotzi mamon, right? And that, just like that helps him, makes him a bailin for la baldvarm didiat, you know, lemaisa, it makes him a bailin for mipi atavayim, lo lo yagid. Yeah.
Does the Sherman, when he poses added in Mitzvot or Rosh, when they answer it, he leaves out all about
matzah? Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Correct. I think you have to look at the Lishonos, both here and in Bava Kamma, to try to figure this question out 100%. And we'll see also the language of Tosin Bava Kamma in just a minute. So this is the question. Okay? What about the second? The rest of Tosis is fine. There's nothing important there. Yeah?
I thought that the Ramban said something similar in the Mohammeds when he's...
Yeah, we'll talk about the Ramban. But yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Which you can pick
up. Line. If you say the Shliach works for Parsha... For to be done with somebody, the Iyamar to Shliya, the Ashliyah, lo mechay be'edim. Amai lo keva diachol lechupo lelo ve bladunimo. Why? So if a shliach is able to be called lelo ve, then why would the edim not be mechay?
Right. Exactly. So it highlights this question. But again, it doesn't tell us which of these two. But again, it brings it into very clear focus. And again, the Rajba, I think at one point also says this, that he. You know, the difference between this and regular shlichos, according to Bali Tosis, is his ability. He's a shliach, not just litvia, but he's a shliach ligvia. And that somehow that makes the whole difference. But again, because it addresses, you know, that side problem, you know, and just, you know, makes it a moot point, or because it's a different kind of shlichos, it's a different kind of hat, and therefore, mimela. You know, he's Kamoa Bailim. Not so clear. What about the next Tosis? Next Tosis is very important. We'll leave the bigger one in Bava Kamma in a minute, but just to get the local one in, always a good thing. Ezra, go ahead. So the Gemara has the 2 days in the Gemara about Kafre de lo Kafre. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, so that's important. We're going to get back to that. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rajba, the Ramban, is that really true? Because the problem is that, again, Bishlam of the Sugi and Bava Kamma, you know, there's no reason to say that it's Metaltalin, you know, Dekafre at all. Because you could say, oh, La Baldvarm Didiat. I mean, I agree I owe the money, right? But I don't want to deal with, you know, your minion. I want to deal with you, right? Snobbery, insurance, whatever it is, okay? So, but the sugya here, the whole point is that there's a din Torah. So there's no din Torah if the guy admits that he owes money and you don't need the Edom to come and you don't have a Korban Shvuas Edos problem if there's no Kfiras Mamon, right? So it must be Kfiras Mamon. So if there's Kfiras Mamon, how could you have a case of Heched de lo Kafre? Says Tosis. This is, we'll discuss this more about the Rif a little later on, that the Kfira takes place after the Ksivas Harsha, right? And apparently, that later kfira is not posel the harsha. Okay, Good. Go ahead. In the first day, huh? So what's he saying here, basically? Again, how do you interpret this Mishnah, or if you hold the view that Harsha'ah is Ein Kosvin Harsha'ah Metalfalin in general? The answer is, it means that you can't write a Harsha'ah on Gezel's an example. What's the principle? Things are not Breshus. So things are not Nitan Lahakna, we'll say. But something that's nitan lahakda, even more precisely, lahakdasha, although Tosa's using them interchangeably, right? Everybody agrees you can write. So the case will be a case where it's something which is nitan lahekdesh ulahakna. Namely, pikadon, because in pikadon we have a rule, pikadon kalechadisa breshusa demara isa. Not so simple, by the way. I mean, that is the rule. Bali Tosas are very strong in this point. Some of the Achronim point out that there's some conflicting evidence a little bit and suggest to be mechalek in the din of Rabbi Yochanan, I should say, zelafishena shalo, zelafishena breshuso, between maybe shoel, right, a pikadon biad a shoel, as opposed to a pikadon biad, you know, shomer chinam or shomer zachar, and what about socher? So those are very interesting cases and questions. Not for us at the moment. It's more of a shomrim halacha and a pikadon halacha. But all things being equal, so you can be makdish and you can be makna, and therefore everybody will agree it's nitan laharsha. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead quickly. Because it's pikado, right? Inami, the Mekarkoi, because that's also not a problem of Ena Breshuso, right? The Barikasvina, the Karkain and Exelas, we'll get to that when we get to Shuza Bikadom, but okay. Come on, Domele, come on. Yeah. Hold on, Mishani Shatsachi. Okay, good. Then there's a question for the Sugin Bechoros. Yeah, because between them they gave the Kohen, right? And the question about some Mechavar Levaraya here, correct? Okay, go ahead. There you can't say it's talking about Pikadon and Karka. Go ahead. So Maimed Shloshtan is a way of being Makne a Milva. Or something which isn't a Pikadon or Karka or so on. Right? And since it's a way of doing that, so but basically what Tosas is saying is that this other Mandamar, the Mandamar says Lo Kasfina Urkasa Amtalkali, right, is of the opinion that you have to have something which is Nitan Lahakna. So Maimit Shloshtan for a Milva, Pikadon, Karka, all that's going to be fine. But a Stam Milva, Shalobederech, Maimit Shloshtan, that's not going to work. Tosas Bava Kama is also going to add Shibuda de Rab Nasan. What's Shibuda de Rab Nasan? Anybody know? Conditioned people from last year, right? Anybody who, you know, ate at that seal. That's not right? You know, and I think I was there and I know who you all are. I think we had the biggest group. Did we have the biggest group? Of the Simon, that's what they told me. Yeah.
It's when Reuben loans to Shimon and Shimon loans to Levi, Reuben can be Tovea from Levi directly.
Right. No Shim Bechaber, Bechaber, Bechabero. That's called Shibuda Drabnasan. So Tosa says, Shibuda Drabnasan. Fine. Okay, keep going. Rabbi Tam Posek, this is the end of Tosas. Go ahead. Because he's going to be marich, you can open up now Bava Kama. We'll look at Bava Kama quickly. But basically, what Tosas says then, if you had to summarize Tosas, right? What would you say about Tosas' view on Harsha? And we'll just see if it's upheld by the both Tosas and combined. Tosas thinks Harsha is a form of shlichus, correct? He thinks that the machlok, that the day on the Gemara that says "Ein kosvin urchas amitalteli," is that midin shliach? Well, he doesn't say it explicitly here, but certainly thinks that that view thinks that you need the criterion of hakna in order to accomplish harsha, right? Anything that will work b'derech hakna, like maimed shlashdan, right? Certainly karka. Pikadon for the Balitosis L'shitasom, you can write Harshaas for. The only problem is a technical problem, but the Kafre Mechzik Shikra. And Mechzik Shikra, we don't paskin l'halacha. That is the view of Rabbeinu Tam. But it sounds like Shliach Shavya is the way that we paskin. We don't paskin Ein Kosvin, we paskin Ein Kosvin a Kafre, and then we don't end up paskin Ein Kosvin a Kafre either. So according to Balitosis, could you write a Harshana Milva? L'halacha. Yeah, why not? Right? Because we don't paskin like the first day of the Gemara. We don't end up, you know, we paskin about Harsha like the second day of the Gemara, but we drop the requirement of Mechzik Shikra. So it would seem that you can be Marsha in Milva, which is very important, by the way. Historically, it was very important. And as we'll see in a moment, in Tosin Bava Kama and other Rishonim, they admit that, meaning the practice was in the world of the Bali Tosas to write Harshas on Milvas. And they're basically trying to figure out, we can't get it from this Tosas in Shavuos, but you see it clearly in Tosas and Bava Kama and other ones, that basically they're wondering, you know, what justifies that practice, given that the Gemara here says that either Ein Kosvin Urkasa Metaltalin at all, or at least on Metaltalin de Kafre. Right? And the answer, basically, as we'll see in a moment, is, well, Shliach Shavya, it's only a Mechzik HaShikra problem. The global evidence of Mechzik HaShikra is that it's not Ma'akev. Right? So this, there, then you can write Harsha on Milva. Okay? So that is, let's look at Tosafot Kama just quickly. I know they're long, but just let's we've mostly done seeing what it is. I just want to get on the record. I want to get the Lashon of Tosafot Kama in two, very quickly. And it's more explicit about how he understands the relationship between the two deos. But Ayin Omed Aleph, go ahead. Number one, right? The Lokas Fina Norkas Amitalt, the smaller one. Same thing. Dafka Amitalt and the Gazle. Amitalt and the Bikadon Kasvinan. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay, and then he brings the same raya from Bava Basra, and then he adds in the end, "Va'od dil'el amar ein gonav achar ganav mishalim kefal mishum dein bailim yochol ha'akdish v'gunav mi beis hanifgad mishalim kefal l'bailim." Right, meaning if you do steal it's not considered gonav, you know, shelo b'rishus ha'bailim. If you steal a pikadon of the owner. Right? That's not considered Gneva Shalom Yershusa. Right? So you see that Bikadon Kolechad Isa Brishusa Damari Isa. So he says you should know that even the Mandom are Lokosvin Urchasa Metaltali, right? That doesn't apply to Bikadon. As I said, some of the postkim in Shulchan Aruch are not so sure about Sheila and Skiros. Good. The Xos, as I say, a very famous piece on Rabbi Yochanan's Din, Zelifishen Shos. He has several famous pieces and so on. And he discusses this very extensively. Okay, but we're not going to go into that right now because it's not our topic. Amataltal and the Kafre, go ahead. Here's much more up front. Kasar Benu Tam. But number one, it's clear that Rabbeinu Tam isn't just telling you, oh, by the way, the Gemara says this. It's Mexic, based on Mexican Shikra. You should know we don't pass in this way. Therefore, it's a little bit backwards, meaning the Rabbeinu Tam is scratching his head, trying to figure out how can we write you know, we write harshas on metalta and the kafre. So he was looking into it. He said, yeah, because it's clear. Because, you know, if you look at the global evidence, we don't pass in Nechzik Kashikra as a ma'ake. By the way, Nechzik Kashikra is the reason that we, in a ksuva, for example, you know, typically, wait to write in the word v'kanina until the Edim make the kinyan. Because that's what Nechzik Kashikra is. Nechzik Kashikra is an example of that. That's why it's not ma'ake b'di'eved. But the chatila, we... You know, we try to be choshesh. Go ahead. The Tamala Yadana, right? The first one was Rabbi Chanan. Oh, yeah, okay. Rabbi Natan Mefaresh. Our Gemara in Shavuos is one of the things that proves that we paskin like the second day of the Gemara. Go ahead. The Tamala, the Mashbialeya. Go ahead. Yeah, also Parakesh. Bechor. The Leisa Dra Puppy don't pass like a puppy. Damar, he said, Haya Sharta, the Daini. Okay. It was written Mekame de la Sadu Sad de Yachsimos Yadayu. Before we know that the Edim's Chasimos even are authenticated, so that's Psula Mishun de Mexica Shikra. We don't pass it that way. Okay, keep going. So say we don't accept that. Ishlomar. Even if you don't pass in that way, it should be according to many, to more mandavrim. The Perek basic suvis. Okay, that's just an example. Good. Okay. Ulmil fi amefarshim. Okay, you could skip that part. One second. Uvim Tomar. Just do that. Uvim Tomar, listen to the Hardai, my Haba Mishani, and my season to Shuas and the Bechoros. Okay, like Artosis. Come on, Dabar Nishbayin. But I'm not some. This is what I was referring to just to get on the record. Oh, it's Shibud Rab Nasim. Okay? Inami, Maimid Shlashtan. Yeah, so this is an interesting question of Maimit Shlashtan, which is not our topic. I think we did talk Maimit Shlashtan last year in Kiddushin, you know, towards the end. But again, the question is, in any of these triangular, you know, these halachic triangles, you know, whether it's Shibud Rab Nasan or Maimit Shlashtan, the answer may be different, but the question is parallel, right? If the question, of course, is how it really works and whether it's a direct or an indirect process, right? And partly the question is, can you, you know, get the result if you can't really accomplish it on your own, both in terms of your bialis and in terms of the state? So here's the question of Maimit Shlashtan: if he can't be motzi miyado himself, does he have the ability to trigger a Maimit Shlashtan? Okay, keep going. The Englet Tmoa, this is what I really want. This is where he says that this is the minug, you know, in you know, Klal Yisrael and Sarfat, that's in Ashkenaz. It's hard to know exactly where, but Englet Tmoa, Masha, Anu Noagim, Lichtov, Harsha, Afila, Bemilva. Go ahead. Hello, the harshah. I mean, generally, it's very difficult to be makna a milva. So how can you write a harshah on a milva, which is Klal Yisrael is no egg to be marsha on a milva, right? Most cases of harshah probably are going to be in a milva, right? They're not going to be on a pikadon or a karka, right? They're going to be somebody lent money, A lent money to B. You know, it's time to collect, and he's not. You have to also understand again. This is not, just a little bit of the historical aspect, but. It's, as people are traveling around, obviously, so it becomes local, we'll call it personal collection, becomes much more difficult. So the ability to send a shliach or a mursha to collect your debt, if you're traveling or that person is traveling, is a very vital, issue. Like if we all live, in Washington Heights, so unless somebody's good at evading us, we can probably pin down the guy who owes us debts. And confront them, and the guy can't say la bal dvarim didia. But if everybody's, off to, Timbuktu or Abu Dhabi or, Paris or London all the time, it's hard. So the ability to use a shliach or a mursha to collect your chov becomes a very important issue. And in most cases, it's a chov, it's not a picado. Right. So the practice was that they used harsha for a milva, go ahead. Oh, avopi shen yachal haknosa. Kimo shen yachal haktish. Right, here's equating again hakdasha naknoa, we'll see in a moment. The Kaimel and Rabbi Yochanan and the Gezevel and the Shoshu Rabbanim Shem and the Cholim Lahakdish. Go ahead. Yeah, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So how can it be that you can the first lashon connects it to Rabbi Yochanan, right? The ability to be makdish and makne. So we're stuck. We're in trouble. Mashmanami hasam the sovereign stam of the Gemara. Mesusa, that's the Gemara Bab Metzia with the. Talk for Cohen. Imam Mesusa metaltal in loyam nigzal yachal haktish. Who had in halva? Halva, you can never be makdish. Afal bishen yachal haknosa kasvinan harsha. So how could that be? The answer is v'taima shliach shavya. So that's where Tosa says it explicitly. He didn't say that explicitly in our Tosa and Shavuos. I mean, Tosa understands that the two days in the Gemara. Whether kosvin urchasa metaltali, or as long as it's not dekafre or ain't kosvin urchasa metaltan at all, the two days in the Gemara are equivalent to the later discussion in the Gemara, whether shliach shavya or not. That's not so obvious, and we'll see that not all Rishonim agreed. Right? That's how Rabbeinu Tam understood it, and this is how he explained Minag Yisrael. To be gova harsha mimitaltalin, because since the Gemara says shliach shavya, so that first daya, right, is nidcha legamri. The Gemara itself does not say that hova hatalia. It might be that shliach shavya, but you need the shiur of being makdish or makne. Right? It also may be that we don't paskin shliach shavya. So the balitosis take a clear. But then the question is, okay, shliach shavya, you don't need koach hakna. Right? So then, why isn't a regular shliach sufficient for la bal dvarim didiat and for mipiat toveya? So once again, Tosis explains. But here the language is, so interesting. Go ahead. Asu takana l'inyan shlichus. Go ahead. Ooh. So what does that mean? What do those words mean? Once again, we're not sure. It's a different not sure than the other ones, but the ambiguity part is common, right? One way to look at it is asu takana. Takana means what? A takana de rabbanan? I don't think so. Here, asu takana means they made an adjustment. I mean, they perfected, or adjusted, they tweaked you know, this particular shlichus also takana, I think. Le'inan shlichus ki'ilu haya kone kinyan gamur. Meaning? It has the same effect, or meaning this is a super shlichus? This is like you're the baldavar le'inyan the tvi and the gvia in the shlichus? That's what he's saying? Like the seifa of the one in Shavuos? Or is it, no, don't take it so seriously. What it means is, just like if you were Kona Kinyan Gomor, no one could say to you, La Baldvarim Didiya. So, you know, if the guy says, I'm sanctioning, you know, the Gvia, and therefore the Tvia is not something you can say, La Baldvarim Didiya, or it's another way of signifying, you know, that if there's any insurance problems, you know, it's indemnified, you know, we're covering it. So that's the end of it. It's a regular shlichus with a clause. But it doesn't sound that way, not in Tosis and Bava Kamma, and not in Tosis and Shavuos, right? It could be read that way, especially if you say takana means takana, you know, drabana, not just, you know, a takana. We upgraded. I'm saying that I prefer reading it because of the Kona Kinyan Gamor, and I think there are just easier ways to say it, or the Baal Dabar. And the other one, that, you know, what the clause upgraded this to a different level of shlichus. Doraisa, even. Right? But I, you know, I would be intellectually dishonest if I didn't admit that you could read it in a more innocuous way. Right? Both of them. Okay? So, v'yesh smach lemina, go ahead, bagozel. The papa of Masik, we'll finish after this. Bechuzai, go ahead. Okay, actually, pretty much. Okay, we don't really need to read the rest for the moment. So this is, we have Rashi in Shavuos, which definitely seems to be suggesting that this is not typical shlichus. It doesn't sound like it's a didrabanan either. Again, apotropos, shultana'a, davar de la mate liyade. There's certainly no din in hilchos shlichus that davar de la mate liyade you can't make a shliach for. Okay? So there's some, certainly a tinge of, you know, hakna'a elements. Maybe there's no din in real hakna'a either. Maybe you're a kareach mikan or mikan in a way, you know, in a morsha. You can't, a regular shliach isn't going to do it, you know, and, you know, the only way to do it is through like a super shlichus of some sort. And that's, you know, morsha or a diluted hakna'a. And, you know, you should know that while that works, that's what I'm saying for Rashi, it leaves you at least with one, you know, gap. And that is davar de la mate liyad. That's what I think is going on in Rashi. And in Tosus, either Tosus is saying it's shlichus, it's the balamor with a clause, right? I think more likely Tosus is saying this is a more independent shlichus, right? And therefore he's a baldavar linyan tviya because he's a baldavar linyan gviya, and he's a baldavar linyan gviya, which is like being kona kinyan gamor. But, says Tosus, you should know that this is really a machlokas 2 days in the Gemara, and we paskin shliach shavya is a radical difference between the 2 days. Okay, the third day to look at very quickly is the Rajba, just on the extremes, not historically, obviously, just to get it on the record. But we're going to have to stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow at 1 o'clock if I can make it earlier, 12:30. Is the room open 12:30 Monday or not? I think yes.
Weinberg, Weinberg.
Oh, he does. Wait, from when? 12 to 1.
12 to 1.
Okay, so I'll be in touch with Shua if we can get in. So I don't want to fall behind on that. What's that? Yeah, no, we'll start there and we'll go here. Okay. So, the third shita is, I'm not going to read it inside now, but is the Rajba in both places. What is the crux of it, Natan? That everybody agrees, Kula Alma agree, that Harsha is Hakna. Right? And that the context of Rabbi Yochanan is a powerful one. Ezra, you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what's the two deos in the Gemara? If it's not shlichos versus hakna for the Rajba? There's like a huge assumption, right, sprinkled in there. Ezra? What's the relationship between Hekdesh and Akna? Right? That jogging your memory or not? It's complicated, and it's mechudash, so it's not easy to... Yossi? Saw it? Can see it yet? Okay, we'll try to see it. Everybody should try to see that by tomorrow, and the Ramban, and the Raivin, and the Rif, and you know what they say about the Rif. The Rishonim here and the Rishonim there. Let's try to really, by Monday, Tuesday, try to finish on. Donnie? You see it? Jakey? People haven't seen the Rajva yet? Eitan? Huh? What? Okay, there's a difference between. So we'll leave it for the for tomorrow. Nathan?
You said that either first lashon the level of
bailus required to be makdish is higher, right? More demanding, right? Than what is required to, this is the chiddush of the Rajba, very huge chiddush, than what's required to be makneh. That's a little difficult given the Gemara Bava Kamma, because the Gemara Bava Kamma equates or discusses this whole din of Rabbi Yochanan. What does it discuss it with regard to? We already mentioned it. The Ad? Which dinim? Go to Fachar Ganav, meaning which, which the din of Rishus HaGanav, in other words, Rishus HaNignav. The din of hefker, the din of pidyon, right? It's not like the Gemara is only speaking about hekdesh. The Gemara has this whole discussion. Is Rabbi Yochanan compatible? Rabbi Yochanan says that, eino b'rishuso zeni yochal akdisho. He is of the opinion, that what is his what about these other mishnayos? Are they kevase or not? What about snuin? And what about Rabbi Dosa? And what about the mission of Ein Gonev Achar Ganav? So what are those three things? One is about the Hagdara of, V'lo Mibeis HaGanav, Mibeiso V'lo Mibeis HaGanav. That's Gonev Achar Ganav. The other one, Rav Dosa, is about Pidyon Maiser Sheni. And the other one is about, the Tznuot is about Hefker. So for the Rajba to say that it's anyway Mechudash, because typically, it's Mechudash, V'haraya, that, this is, 99% of the Rishonim don't think it's even true. They think that, as you saw, Tosus was interchanging Hektish and Hakna, without batting an eyelash. Right, Rabbi Yochanan says what he says about Hektish, Behu Adin, Hakna. Right. So the Rajba's Chiddush, that the capacity to be Makdish requires more control, or more Bailus, or more Hakna, than the capacity to be makna. It's just not obvious, logically. It's not the consensus view of the Rishonim. But in addition to that, it has implications even within the worldview of the Rajba. Namely, you must say that these two levels of bailus, the one for hektish, the one for hakna, right? They affect different things. And that gonev min haganav, and that pidyon, and that hefker, depend on the hektesh criterion, not on the haknoah criterion. Wow. Fascinating thing. The Talmud Rajba in Bava Kamma, fleshes this out more. Like he points it out. It's obvious, it's implicit, but the Rajba says part of it, but doesn't say all of it. So there are two levels. There's the capacity of bailus reflected by the koach lahaktish, and there's the capacity of haknoah. In a regular din, says the Rajba, the two deos in the Gemara, no day in the Gemara thinks that the harsha is shlichos. They only discuss what level of hakna it is, and therefore what is required. Okay, so we'll pick up on the Rajba, and then the in-betweens, which are, again, the other extreme, the Balamor, and then the in-betweens, the Raivid, the Ramban, and what about the Rif and the Rambam, and so on. Okay, we'll pick up on that.